Thank you very much, really pleasure. I'm supposed to start by taking the flyer and looking at the title and saying that the title is a little bit wrong. That's usually the way you start, but I looked at it and it was accurate, so I couldn't do that. The other thing I was supposed to start with was to start by saying that recently there was in the news a story in New York, and then say, but we're not talking about that, but Rabbi Bludger already told you, so he stole my introduction, but it's fine. Okay, so the first thing we start with is I don't like when the guy gets up and he says, well, we have number one on your papers and whatever, so I bedafka left my first Gemara off. I'm just kidding, I couldn't find where it was yesterday when I was making the sheets. Okay, so the first Gemara we have is the first Mishnah in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and the Mishnah says, V'ha'ish eino mitzi ela l'ritzayna. A man can only give a get of his own free will. Now, this halacha is to the point that there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, in siman Kuf Lamed Dalet in Evin Ezer, that discusses what to do to make sure that the Baal is giving, that the husband is giving the get of his own free will. And in Shulchan Aruch it says we do what's called bittul moida'os, that just in case the man told someone, I don't really want to give this get, I'm being forced. So he comes before the bezdin, when he comes to give the get, he has to announce that I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything, and if I did, I'm regretting it. And then they also do Hataras Nadarim. He's Matar Neder in front of the Bezdin in case he made a Shvua or a Neder whether to give a get or not to give a get. And then after they do the Bittul Maidais that he says he's giving the get of his own free will, they write the get. But the writing of the get could take 20 minutes depending on who's writing. But it could take 20 minutes. So we're afraid that maybe the Baal in the interim said something before the get is given over. So again, before the get is actually handed over to the woman, he again says, if I said anything or did anything, I'm vavatlet and I want to give the get of my own free will. So this is to the extent that we take to make sure that the husband is giving the get of his own free will. And as you learned in the sheets this morning, if he's giving the get not of his own free will and he's being forced, then the get may be batal. That's the main thing. So technically, if the husband is being forced to give the get under normal circumstances, somebody holds a gun to his head and he says, give your wife a get, and he complies, the get is not good, it has no validity at all, the children are mavzerim if the woman remarries, and whatever else comes out of that. Okay, so now, the question is, if the man is saying he's not being forced and he's doing it of his own free will, but then again somebody's really forcing him to do it, how do these two ideas come together? I mean, say somebody goes over to him and he puts a gun to his head and he says, give your wife a get or I'll shoot you in the head. He comes in front of the bezdin and he says, I'm doing this of my own free will, it's all fine. So then it seems he got rid of the whole problem and he's doing it of his own free will, so what's the big deal? So the Mechaber at the end of Kuf Lamed Dalet says that doesn't help. The only time the Bittul Maidais, this declaration before the get, helps to say that he's not being forced is only if he said something. He told people, I don't want to really give the get. So then he comes and declares afterwards that he really wants to give the get. But if he's really being forced, even if he says he's not being forced, then the get is not good. Now we'll have to determine exactly what to do in a situation where the husband doesn't want to give a get, or we'll see as certain situations where maybe we could force the husband to give a get. Now we learned there's a Mishnah it's the Gemara in Erechin talks about that in certain situations you may force a man to give a get. What are the situations? The situations are on page 3. The Mishnah in Ksubis talks about different people. Eilu shekayfin lahaitzi, they are mukashchin, which the Rambam learns actually is a man who has tzaras. Baal Polipus, he smells horribly. Makabitz is a guy who gathers dog's dung for a living. What a cool living. And Matav Nachash is all different professions. The Mishnah enumerates that the man has a terrible smell. The man has a horribly bad breath. We're talking about beyond scope and Listerine. This is like, there's no hope for this guy. And the woman comes to the Bezdin and she says, I want to get. And so in these situations, the Bezdin, the Mishnah actually says, Kaifin, we can force the husband to give a get. And the Mishnah in Erchin that we have on Daf Chafalef, the Mishnah says that that means although we can force him, but in these situations prescribed in the Mishnah, but the forcing has to result with the husband at the end of the day saying that he wants. So say he has horrendously bad breath, they sent him to every type. I was sitting in the dentist office once and they have this video playing about this guy who's saying that nobody wanted to talk to me, and then someone told me that I have bad breath, so I went to the dentist and he took care of it. So obviously if the dentist could take care of it, not a problem. But if the dentist can't and Listerine scope, nothing works, so at the end of the day the woman demands a divorce, the husband says, I don't care, my breath is fine, and that's that. So the Bezdin has to paskin. They go to Bezdin. Bezdin paskins that yes, his breath smells, and then he has to give a get. Now let's say fine. So Bezdin sends their hitman, let's say, to him. We'll talk about the practical application of this. We're just talking in theory, you know, according to what the Gemara says. So Bezdin sends their hitman. He puts a gun to the guy's head and he said, "You have bad breath. Write a get to your wife." So if the guy just goes along and he says, "Okay, give my wife a get," that's nothing. He has to actually say, "I agree. You're right. Okay, I'll give the get." Now the question is, the Rishonim ask, why does this work? If at the end of the day you're forcing a man, you're putting a gun to his head, and he's saying, yeah, okay, fine, I want to give it. But you're forcing him. The only reason why he is agreeing to give the get is because you're forcing him. So why does this work? So the most famous answer, is, of course, the Rambam. That the Rambam says, everybody, I'm sure, knows this. Rambam, in Perek Beis Halachah, the Rambam says that really the man wants to give a get, the Yetzirah is stopping him, and by beating the living daylight out of him, we kind of like bring out of him the good, and now the good shines forth over the bad, and he wants to give the get, but he really always wanted to give it the whole time. That's the Rambam's attitude on why this works. The Rashbam in Bava Basra says a different approach. Why does it work to force a man to give a get in the situations that Chazal said that you can force him? So the Rashbam says like this. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. Dafyam, you'll get there somewhere around 2017. The Gemara says in Kedushin, Tal Yu V'Zavin, Zvini Zvini. I walk over to a guy. I see he has I remember when I was a kid, they came out, when I was in sixth grade, they came out with the pump sneakers. So I remember that there were people going around with knives, they were stabbing people because they wanted money for pumps. So if you go to someone with a knife and you say, "Give me your pumps, but I'll compensate you," and you pull out the money, you force the guy to sell it to you, but you actually give him the money. So the Gemara says, "Zvini, zvini, it's good." Okay, you walk over to a guy, you say, "Sell me your Porsche. I'll give you a fair market value." And although he's just doing it because he's scared, but he got compensated for his car. So the halacha is Tayu Vizavin Zvini Zvini. He was forced to sell. The sale is a good sale. So the Rashbam says in this situation also, in the situations where the Chazal said you're allowed to force the husband to give the get, so if you force him, he's like a Tayu Vizavin. He's forced to give the get, but he's being compensated. He's not really losing. It's an interesting Rashbam. He says the husband is not really losing anything because his wife hates him anyway, and she doesn't want to live with him. So what's the big loss if he gives her a get? And therefore the Rashbam says that would be okay. So the Rashbam learns that being that in the situation where the wife hates him anyway, and she doesn't want to live with him, so he doesn't have her anyway as a wife. So the get doesn't really make such a big difference to him. So you're forcing him to do something that he doesn't really have a loss from. So then it's not to be a what? So it would be the equivalent, the Rashbam says, to forcing someone and compensating him.
He has to lose
because he has to pay the ksuba. I don't know. If I was talking to my kids, I would say that's Tysus's kasha. Okay. I don't remember. There is a big discussion about this, what to do with the ksuba. The emes is that this sugya, before we get into it, is like they say in yeshivas, takes a whole. The emes, it's a limit for a winter zman. It's two big simanim in Shulchan Aruch with gemaras. Some of the gemaras you saw this morning. It's a serious thing to cram it all into 45 minutes. Of course, it's very hard. You always have to say that this way. All the stuff that you don't know, it doesn't sound like you don't know anything. Okay. Now, Taisus and Baba Basra says a third approach. And Taisus says that the reason why you're allowed to force him is because it's a mitzvah. The man has to let his wife go, and we can force somebody to do a mitzvah. And that's why it's like, Tal Yuv Zavin, That's why it's like forcing a man and compensating him, because he has to do it anyway because it's a mitzvah to let his wife go under these circumstances, and that's why it works, because you're forcing someone to do something, and he's being, I guess, compensated because he has to do the mitzvah anyway. I don't understand Tysus well, but that is the words of Tysus. Now the Radvaz says a huge chiddush. The Radvaz says that in circumstances where Chazal said that, let's say the guy, he gathers dog dung for a living, okay? So the Mishnah says in Ksuvos, we learned this morning, that you can force the husband to give a get. The Radvaz says that really the get's not a good get. You're forcing him. And the Mishnah says in Yevamos, you can't force a husband to give a get. So why is the get good? Under those circumstances, we apply the concept of Afkinu Rabbanu L'Kedushin Mineh. The Chachamim absolved the Kedushin L'Mafreya, which they have a right to do. As anybody who got married with an Orthodox rabbi, for sure, you say, so you're doing it with the understanding that it's according to the rabbi's guidelines. And in certain situations, the Chachamim absolved the marriage, and they said that they were never married in the first place. So the Radvaz is learning that every time we're forcing the husband, it's really not a good get. The get's not good. But if you follow the process and you give the get, then they absolve the marriage. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, between all these turrets, and the achrenim say, is you have a man who's a mummer. He doesn't keep any of the mitzvahs. Can you force him to do the mitzvahs? So it's an interesting thing. Maybe we can argue on it also. I hate when people do that. Before they say what they were going to say, they already say why it's wrong. But basically, it'll come out like this. According to the Rambam, that we're forcing him because we really want him to do what he wants to do anyway. So we're just bringing out what he really wants to do, and everybody wants to be good. So the mummer, who's shown clearly in the rest of all aspects of life that he's not interested in doing what he's supposed to, it should come out according to the Rambam that we are not allowed to force him. But according to the other Turotzim, according to the other Rishayim, the Radvaz, Tysus, and the Rishbam, you would be allowed to force him.
There's another one.
It'll also be nafkamina. It'll also be nafkamina that if the isha was if she was zinsa,
right,
and the arman zayrim, that they wouldn't be mazayrim. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay, so that's basically category number one, is the people that you can force. Now, included in this category of the people that you're allowed to force are a man who's addicted to drugs. And he's totally wasting the family's money. A compulsive gambler who's totally throwing everything down the, onto the roulette table, and somebody who's using hard drugs, and he's using needles. And people who use needles switch needles, and some of those needles may have on them HIV, and then he may infect his wife. That also would be a situation of kaifin. And similar situations. So although we find in Chazal, and when you read Rishayim, the Rosh says, everybody brings this Rosh that says you're not allowed to add on to the list of Chazal. But the Paiskim explain, it doesn't mean that it's only the guy who collects dog dung. That means if you have another guy who collects horse dung, that wouldn't be included. But it means the categories that Chazal included. Another case that they bring, that you can force a man to give a get, is any man who's married b'issa. He's married to a woman that he's not allowed to be married. So we all know a man's not allowed to marry his sister. Obviously, this kedusha is not even chal. But you have, let's say, a kayin married to a grusha, or any similar situation, a man married a mamzer, we can force him to give a get. Now, the Yishalmi says, even a derabbanan. That means, let's say your grandmother. Let's say you love your grandmother. You want to marry your grandmother. So the halacha is, it's only an issa derabbanan. It's only shnia, so you marry your grandmother. So the halacha is, what wouldn't a good bubby do for her anicle? So you marry your grandmother. So in that case, says the Yishalmi, we can send the man with the cattle prods, and we can force him to give his grandmother a get. I don't know how the relationship will be after that, but that's a different discussion. Okay, now, another situation where we force a man, which is very important to know, is a man who says, I am not going to support my wife. So if he will not support her, then he has to give her a get. Now, not only if he doesn't support her, but if of his own free will, but even if he can't support her, let's say he's sick in the hospital, and he can't come up with the money, nevertheless, we can force him to give a get if he's coming up with some of the money, but he's not meeting the requirements that Chazal spelled out in the Ksuba of what he has to supply for his wife, then also we can force him to give a get. Of course, in the situation of mezainus, of supplying her needs, her food and basic needs, we do warn him and we give him a chance to do what he's supposed to. And if he doesn't comply, then we can force him to give a get. The Paiskim do say that if the woman can find other things, the rabbi's discretionary fund, food stamps, you know, whatever organizations that can help her out, Tamchei Shabbos, WIC, and whatever other situations, if she can, after all that, support herself without him, then we will not force him. If the woman has an asset, not cash, but an asset, and she says, I don't want to sell it, you support me. And the husband says, no, sell it and support yourself. So then she can we can force the husband also. Not only that, but the halacha is that if he's not cooperating, then she can just move out and open an account in South Florida, rack him up a bill, and then Bezdin can force him to pay the bill. I don't know if Yitzi Spalter will agree, but whatever, in case he is, then we can force him. Okay, now, what's our luck with a man who kicks his wife out of the house all the time? He says, get out of here, don't come back for a week. So technically, that act in and of itself is not... it's nothing wrong, but being that, not nothing wrong, of course it's terrible, but I'm saying it's not grounds for Kaifin to force him to give a get, but being that under those circumstances he's ending up not supplying her needs because he's not allowing her to live with him, and if he's not supplying her needs, then it's also grounds for Kaifin. If he runs away, and therefore he's not supplying her needs, also that's a situation where we can force the husband to give a get. A man who will not live with his wife the way husbands are supposed to live with their wives, for whatever reason, either he's not capable of doing it, or because he doesn't want to, whatever it is, he's not fulfilling his obligation as a husband has to do, that also would be grounds that he can give a get. There is a case brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's very complicated. A tremendous amount of space is discussed to this couple that didn't have children. And at what point, sometimes even the Bez, in Shulchan Aruch it says that the Bezin can step in, even though the couple's happily married, and say, we have to dissolve this marriage because you can't have children and he has to have kids and whatever the situation may be. It's very complicated. And I every time I tried going through it, my head spun even more and more. And at the end of the day, there's a rivash that actually started on the page, I don't know if it's 16, 17, 18, or 19 that you have over there in the end. On that page of Shulchan Aruch, it actually, the Beis Shmuel brings down this rivash, and the rivash ends up saying that the Bati Dinim at his point already stopped interfering with marriages that were not having children, and that they stopped forcing for this that the couple wasn't having children. That's basically the situation. If the man gets a mum, let's say he something. So if it's not something so bad, he chas shalom loses an arm in battle. He loses. My father's from Mexico. He said that all the prime ministers were very dishonest. They all stole, and he said they said the most honest prime minister was the one that lost an arm in the Second World War. He was only able to steal with one hand. So anyway, so you have a man, chas shalom, lost an arm, that it would not be enough of a grounds to force him to give a get. But if he lost two arms, two eyes, two legs, then we could force him. Or if he got some terrible mum came upon him, we also can force him to give a get. Also, if the woman lost both arms, both legs, or lost her vision totally, then Bezdin can force the woman to receive the get also in that situation. Now, the most common case probably that comes up, I'm sorry, the next thing we really have to discuss is the Mishnah in the beginning of the seventh parak in Ksuvis. I don't know what number this is, but somewhere here, which talks about Elusha and Kaifa Lahaitzi, all the people that it's just Yaitzevi eating Ksuba. Chazal just said he has to, a man was... he made a neder on his wife that she can't have any of it. She can't get anything from him, or a man. He wrote all sorts of different nedarim or different situations that a man made on his wife that are not nice and bad, but they're not grounds to force him to give a get. A Chazal, the Mishnah didn't say, the Gemara didn't say kaifin. So the halacha is we're the halacha is like this in the Shulchan Aruch there in the Kufn and Dalet Sif Chaf Aleph. There's a machlokes brought down. Any case that Chazal said he should divorce her, but they didn't say kaifin, are we allowed to force the guy? That means in that situation, the Gemara didn't say force him. Gemara said he has to give a get. Could we force him anyway? So this is a machlokes rishayim, and therefore the Ramah says that we should not force him with sticks. We should not take physical measures or any type of onus to force him because it is a machlokes rishayim. Okay. Now, included in this category is probably one of the most common situations that come up in Gittin is the woman says mos a lie. I can't stand the guy's face. I don't want anything to do with him. I can't stand him. He's such an idiot. Okay. So, in that situation, it's a machlokes rishayim if we can force the husband to give again, and therefore we will not force. Now, Reb Chaim Falaji in a tshuva, in Chelek Beis, Simon Lamed Hale and Kovyud Bey says that this is only when she says Ma'os Allah, she says I can't stand him, and they're continuing to live together. But if it gets to a point where they separate and they're living not together for already 18 months and we try to make peace and there's nothing going to happen from this, in that situation also we can, yes, force the husband even though to give the get, even though the woman's only claiming Ma'os Allah. Another situation is a husband who's not giving a get. That means he's being ma'agan his wife, which is usually these cases of aguna that they waited, whatever. I just heard a story of 18 years, the woman was waiting for a get. And all in such a situation, even though the original claim against the husband was not one where we would force him to give a get, but if he kept her in aguna, then for sure we could force him to give a get. Now the question is, The question is, what can you yes do to a husband that we're not allowed to force? What can we do to him? So the Pais can say like this: Where are we over here? The question is, what can you do to him? So if you have somebody put in jail, a husband put in jail, that's called forcing him. And if Chazal didn't condone this, then you're not allowed, if that's not the Pesach from Bezdin, then you're not allowed to force him. The question the Pesachim discuss, an interesting situation, where you harass a relative of his, you're beating up his kids, or something like that, so you're not really doing anything to him, but you're it's pretty direct, so that's also a machlaikis, if you're allowed to do that. Any hitting of the husband... Yeah, we're talking about, even if he's saying right something, if you're taking force when it's not condoned, we give a whole list of cases that you're allowed to, that Bezdin will possibly can force the guy to give a get. In situations where Bezdin said, no, you cannot force the guy to give a get, the woman says, no, so I don't like him, he's an idiot. So we cannot force the guy to give a get. So what's considered force and what's not considered force? So any physical action against him is mutter, is also, it would be einus, and even if he's being forced, even if he comes to Bezdin and says, I want to give a get, being that he's being forced, the get's not good. The get's batal, but the kids are mamzer. Even if he says right sani, yeah. You have to take away the inus first. The inus has to really be gone in order for the get to be good.
Then even by the cases, do you have a right to do it?
No, we have a right to do it, then he just has to say right sani.
That's enough.
Yeah. Okay. If you just give the guy normal pains, like the regular vicissitudes of life, you wake him up in the middle of the night, with harassing phone calls, you make him get stuck in traffic, and whatever similar situations, then of course that's not called forcing him. Putting a man in nidoy, chayrim, anything like that would be called forcing him. Now, there was a situation actually here in Miami, I don't know what shul it was, but Rabbi Leierfeld told me the story that the husband didn't want to give a get. The rabbi said, listen, if you don't give a get, I'm getting up today Shabbos afternoon in shul, and I'm announcing that you don't want to give your wife a get. And the guy promised then on the spot that he would give the get. They actually, in that situation, they wrote the get on Matzah Shabbos, even though the halacha is generally we don't write a get at night, but in case of Egan, they would. Okay. Now, if they force him to pay money, they put a knas, some sort of knas on him to pay money, that also would be considered that he's being forced. Even if the man made a shvuah on his own, he swore that he would give a get, The Ramah says that l'chatchila we tell him to be mataneder, to take off the shua, in order that to take off any tzad that it may be a get ma'osa, that it may be a forced get.
What if someone's making his life miserable, like people are bugging him, and he thinks he's being forced to give the get to his ratzon, but in fact no one is actually doing it with the intent of making him give a get? Would that count?
I think you should go see a psychiatrist. No, I don't know. It depends on the situation. Bezdin has to examine the evidence and find out if the guy's being forced. The gets are not a good get. It's like any other psil in a get. And if they have reason to believe that there's someone forcing him,
he's not being forced to do it. He just thinks he's being forced to do it.
He should let the Bezdin know, and the Bezdin has an obligation to find out, to do an investigation and find out. Because if he really is being forced because of this harassment, and it is coming because of the, let's say, the woman or her father, whatever it may be, the get is not a good get. They have to investigate, and they can't write the get until they know for sure. Okay.
I'm confused about how this works with what the Rambam said, where sometimes the being uncomfortable makes you do what the Yetzirah wants you not to do, and sometimes because the Rambam didn't say that you can do this, then the Rambam's shot for why it works is not applied?
Right, so that's a very good question, and I don't know the answer. But basically what he's asking is that he's saying, if the Rambam's saying that beating the guy up, and he basically says, yes, I really want to give it, so who cares if it's from the cases that Chazal said that you have to give a get, or it's, that you force him, or the cases that Chazal didn't say that you force him? Regardless, the guy at the end of the day, we just brought out the good in him, and now he wants to give a get.
It's not the good, it's not the good. It's bringing out that which is a slave to do. He's not a slave to do it, so it's not bringing anything.
Oh yeah, so what you just said is a chazanish. Thank you very much. Okay.
No, yeah. He's saying right to do what Chazal wants me to do.
I hear. You're saying he's being maskin to do what Chazal told him. I want to do what Chazal told me. But if Chazal really not telling him that he has to, then he's being maskin to thing. And if we trick the guy, let's say we tell him, the guy says, I'm not giving you the get unless you give me 50 grand. So we say, fine, we'll give you 50 grand. He gives the get. And they say, ha ha, we're not giving you 50 grand. So the get's bottle. It doesn't work. The whole thing was, yeah. Or if they tricked him in any situation, then also the get is not good. Another situation the price can bring down, it's actually it's a Ramah in Hul's Ksuba, I forgot with Simon, is that the guy married her Baramos. That means he tricked her. She didn't chap, he was a terrorist. Or something really, really severe, and the whole marriage was Baramos. So we don't usually do today Mekachtos, but we would force the husband to give a get in that situation.
There is a lot of cases which you abolish marriage with Mekachtos.
Yeah? No. Okay, I'm not so involved. I never did that. So I'm not familiar. Oh, okay, anyway. So, okay. Now, what happens in a situation like this? The man, let's say, was, he stole. So they put him in jail. And the woman wants a get. So she comes to him and she says, and he doesn't want to give her a get. So the woman comes to him and she says, listen, you know, if you give me a get, I'll hire a top lawyer, I'll get you out of jail. Is that called forcing? So in that case, where his jail and his situation had nothing to do with the get, she's just offering him to get out of the situation, that of course would not be called forcing. Another situation, Ramosha suggests in a Chuvin of an Ezra Simon Kuv Vav, Evan Ezra Chelik Gimel, Simon Kuv Vav, Ramosha says, Chelik Dalin. Ramosha says that the man, if he's holding Raguna, he's obviously not paying Mazinus. So let her take him to court. I guess, well, if he's not going to call, he's not cooperating with the Bezdin. So she can take him to court and force him to pay, you know, support. And then even though the court is going to give her more money than she's entitled to, nevertheless, she's allowed to take him to court. And now, once he's in court for Mazinus to give support, now if he says, you know, I'm not interested in giving you Mazinus, I'd rather give a get, that would not be called a get Ma'osa either. That wouldn't be a forced get. And that also would be okay.
That's what the lawyers are doing.
Now, in Eretz Yisrael today, you should just know that the whole situation is different because the civil law and the Batei Dinim are connected, and therefore they have a lot of ways in Eretz Yisrael that they would put in jail, and they'll cancel a guy's credit card, his driver's license, they'll freeze his accounts. have a lot of recourse that they can take over there. There's actually just came out, mamish this week, a sefer from Eretz Yisrael against all the means that they use over there, saying that it's also getma osa, that it's forced and it's not good. But that's a different story. Okay, now one situation was, I remember a man, his wife wanted a get, and it was a funny situation where he was living in Chutz La'aretz already, but his family was still living in Eretz Yisrael. They were afraid that if he was going to come back to Chutz La'aretz to his job, he wasn't going to come back. So what they did was they told him, you can only leave Chutz La'aretz in Eretz Yisrael. They can put a thing on your passport that you can't leave the country. They put it on him and that he couldn't leave unless he gave a get al tanai. That if he doesn't come back by a certain time, it's a get. So being that he's giving the get al tanai, that always being forced to do this, but being that he has the option to come back by the date that we set for him. And if he chooses not to come back, that's his choice. But we can force him into that situation to give a get al tanai, that if he doesn't come back by a certain time, the get is going to be a good get.
So anytime you want to force a get, you can just force him to make the get al tanai, and then
he can always come back. And no, the get al tanai means he's going to Nicaragua for a month.
Right,
you don't want him to go.
That it's hard for him to do.
Could you say, well, if like, he doesn't have to be maskim. He doesn't have to. If he agreed to the tanai, and then he opted to not come back in time. You can't force him to. Actually, Kivega comes up with a geshmak shtickle. Kivega says that the husband's a kayin, so let them force him to give a get. The halacha is if he gives a get that's forced, the woman's put pasul kahuna. So now he's a kayin. They put a gun to his head and they say, give the get. It's a right side. Here's the get. So now he was forced. The get's not good. But now she's not allowed to live with him either. And now Minadin, we can force him to give a get. But Kivayger says that you're not allowed to do that. Now, if they did it by mistake, that means they forced him and they weren't supposed to. And now she's pasul. She's not allowed to remain married. And now they can force him to give the get. Kedid. Another situation that the Ramah brings down in what you were supposed to do this morning is that they gave a get and it wasn't good, or there was an issue with it, but they already gave, she agreed to the original get, and now she says, you know, I'm not doing this again, you blew it one time, get out of here. So the husband doesn't want to do it again. In that situation where they already gave the get, and there's an issue with the first get, we can force him to give the get again. Okay, now the question is, what recourse is there for in a situation where the husband is not cooperating? So the Ramah, that Ramah that's over there in Kuf Chaf and Kuf Nun Dalet, Sif Chaf Aleph, that was on the sheet.
It is in a situation
where you're not forcing. You're not allowed to force. Is there any recourse? Let's say the woman says, Mosala, I can't stand him, and she wants to get. Is there any recourse? Is there anything we can do against the guy? So the Ramah brings what's known in the Paiskim as Harchaka Derenatam. And the Harchaka Derenatam is like this. Basically, we don't do anything to him. We can't put him in Nidoy, no Chayrim, nothing. But we make up among ourselves that no one's going to do business with him. The Moyel is not going to be Malha's kids. No one's going to do any favor with him, and the Chavra Kedisha is not going to bury him. I couldn't find it now this morning, but I saw somebody ads here, and the schools don't have to take his kids into school. Basically, what we do is we don't do anything to him. We don't put him in Chayr. We distance ourselves from him, and we say we're not having anything to do with him anymore. So this, the Ramah says, is mutter under all circumstances. I mean, if Beis Din sanctions doing this. So I called a Masada Gittin, and I asked him, do they do this? Like, well, what's going on? Can Beis Din do this? So he said, yeah, 2 years ago, our Beis Din decided that we're doing this. The man didn't want to give his wife a get because he felt that he should get the house back, whatever the situation may have been. And whatever, so the Rabbana got the guy, this is actually, it's a Sephardi community. The Sephardim didn't take on the Cherim Derbeinu Gershim, but not to take two wives, but they took on a shvua. They took on a shvua not to take a second wife, but they can override the shvua with a heter from three rabbanim instead of 100. So I guess instead of trade command, we'd like plus command. Anyway, so basically this man went ahead and forged himself a heter nisuin from three phony rabbis who don't exist. He put on the address of the Beis Din, of their Beis Din, as some dentist office. and he says he has to have the nisun. He found some, in the words of this Masada Gittin, a yo-yo rabbi, and they got married in some basement on Matzah Shabbos, and bada-bing, bada-bang, and he basically ignored the Bezdin with their whole, with the psak that he has to give his wife a get. So they decided, the Rabbanim in the area, that they can't do anything, that they have to do something about this. There were 7 Rabbanim. They got together, and they said they're doing Harchakat Rabbeinu Tam. Basically, the guy walks into shul, nobody's allowed to sit next to him. I think within 3 rows, no one can sit near him. And in this community, they were able to do it. All the Rabbanim cooperated, and they announced this, and nobody dealt with him or anything. The next week, all 7 Rabbanim got a service from the court that they're being sued for $10 million. So they went to court. They won the lawsuit. They won the lawsuit, but he was just telling me why, like, it's not so common to do Harchakat Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so then what happened was that in 1980, some people decided that Kedushan with Dargunas, we have to do something. We're going to make the New York 80 the Get Law, which I think is the MRL 236B, I think it's called, of 1980, which I think MRL is Marriage and Relations Law. And basically, the first version of the Gat Law in New York State was actually endorsed by many Rabbanim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe's tshuva is actually not about that. It's actually to a Rav in Johannesburg pushing for the same thing. But basically, that Gat Law, the 1980 Gat Law, the Rabbanim went for it, and it was very widely endorsed. And basically, the point was that if anybody comes to the civil court that they want a divorce, they cannot begin with the process of the civil court if they left a barrier to marriage for their spouse. And therefore, basically, if a husband comes to get it, to he wants a civil divorce, he cannot, they won't talk to him if he left a barrier for marriage. The barrier for marriage is to get, and therefore he would go give a get. Now, he's not being forced in that situation because he has the option of not getting a civil divorce. So he can do what he wants, and if he wants to get a civil divorce, he can give his wife a get. And if he doesn't want a civil divorce, he doesn't have to give his wife a get. So he's not being forced. This is what Moshe says in the Tshuva to Rabbi Seltzer from Johannesburg, and the Paiskim agreed with this. The problem was, it's obvious that it didn't really work so well, because what happens if it's the other spouse? That means the husband doesn't want to give the get, and the woman's the one coming to court first. That means if she came first to court, so then it would be she who would be having to not be putting any barriers, but if her spouse was putting the barrier to marriage, and the law didn't say anything about that. So basically, it wasn't so effective. So in 1992, the court, without the benefit of a public hearing, and not consulting with the Rabbanim, moved ahead, maybe with some Rabbanim, they didn't have the endorsement of everybody, they moved ahead, and they revised the Get Law. And the new Get Law said that if the husband... Where are we? That if the husband, the new Get Law said The new Get Law said that the judge should consider for distribution of the assets and alimony the barrier to marriage. That's what it said. And basically, that the judge could take into account how much money the husband's going to have to give, or how much of the assets of the marriage he's going to get, whether he left a barrier to marriage or not. Now this here became a tremendous debate among the Paiskim. I mean, with many Paiskim saying that it wasn't effective. First of all, you're basically taking money away. Rabbi Malinowitz in the halachic journal, I always say the name wrong, but it's something like that, from the RJJ, back in 1992, wrote an article, and he raises there a few good points. And one of them is that you're forcing the man by taking money away from him that's due. That means it's really his assets. It could be Bezdin. He's entitled to this money. And you're taking it away from him, and you're telling him he can only get it if he gives a get. So that, some wanted to say, is a get ma'osa. Another issue he raised, which can be debated, was that basically you're giving over the right to going to Bezdin to the non-Jewish courts, which, okay, can be debated or not. But his third point, which was important, was that he says it'll come out that being that that based on his premise that it is a get ma'aseh, it is being forced, because they're forcing the husband with this law to give the get, even though he's not really being justified, that means now you created a new situation where every couple that comes to Beis Din for a get, Beis Din in New York State has to be chayshed that maybe they're being forced by the law, So now it would be up to the Beis Din to have to start investigating every single case. Maybe they're being forced by the new 1992 get law to give the get. And now, instead of helping the situation, they just messed it up. Well, basically, every get coming out of New York may have a chash of get ma'osah. So that was his taina, that instead of helping the situation, it could be it would even hurt. So others say, Rabbi Schwartz from the CRC, and I think he's the head of the RCA also, said that, what do you mean? Ein l'dayna in elamasha ein avreis, the couple comes to Beis Din, and they say they want to get. Why do they have to be chayshes that they're being forced? Okay, this obviously you can... The point can be argued both ways. I spoke to a different Rav. He said, "Oh, so Rabbi Malinowitz writes in the article, he says that even if the woman's lawyer sends a letter to the husband saying that you better cooperate, you know, there's a 1992 get law." So Rabbi Malinowitz says, "Get ma'osah." So I spoke to a different Masadik, and he said, "You know, I hear it. It's a tzad, but on the other hand, who said that the husband is, who said the wife's going to win? The husband could also hire a lawyer. He can also fight the law, and the law could end up coming out on his side." So basically, there's two sides to the whole to the get law in New York. The last thing I wanted to talk about was the prenuptial agreement. So there is a tshuva for Rav Moshe. It is in Evan HaEzer Chelek Gimel Simon. Chelek Dalet, Simon, Kuf Zayin. It's the one after the tshuva, after the one to Rabbi Seltzer about the get law, is the one about prenuptial agreements. And Rav Moshe says there basically that if the couple is agreeing, they're basically signing a document when they're getting married, that in case of divorce, they're going to go to a specific Beis Din, that they're going to cooperate with whatever the Beis Din says, so then that would work. So even today, they came out, there was a Talteira from all the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, saying that every chassan should have a prenuptial agreement, and they even have, they bring here that even Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Adi Yosef and Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg, they all were maskim to the prenuptial agreement. So, but there are other paiskim who hold that it is a problem and that it is a get ma'osah. I spoke to one Masada Gittin. He told me a couple came to him. He said 3 or 4 weeks ago, a couple came. They handed him this stack of papers, the ksuba, whatever. So he pulled out the prenuptial agreement. He says, "Do you know what this is?" So they said, "No." He said, "But your signature's on here." He said, "Oh, you're right. Taka, the Masada Kedushin asked me right before pictures to sign this." So the Kala, she says, "No, it wasn't before pictures, it was in the middle of pictures." So he said, "Okay, so that means you have no idea what you signed. You have no idea that you agreed to this." So he said, "Is it okay if I rip the thing up and we'll do the get without it?" So the woman said, "No, maybe he's not going to cooperate." So he asked the husband, "Will you give the get even if I rip up the document?" So the husband said, "Yeah," and they did the get without it. So he was trying to say that, although it can have it'll have positive effects, but it can also be used the wrong way. And if the wording is also not 100%, it could also be bad. I went through Rosh Weiss's tshuva. If you want, I have it here. You could look at it. If it's done right, it has merits. Also has demerits. Everybody should ask his rav. And thank you very much, everybody, for coming. And thank you for listening. And have a wonderful day.